Oh, we're recording.
Yes, we are. Yes, sir!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Mexico!
Oh, that is 5 points. I think we almost did it. But I introduce it poorly. And here I am. Welcome to episode 62 of the Digital Waffle Podcast. I'm your host, Gilbert. Today, we're joined with Felicia, Chuka, and Seb. Andrew is experiencing technical difficulties, and it upsets me to my core.
Yeah.
Not Andrew, but the technical difficulties, because I would like him to be on here. And we had a lot to talk about, but I wanted Andrew in on it. So we skimmed down to 5 topics. The fifth one, Chuka might be wondering, because we said 2 a second ago, four a second ago, was happy belated birthday to Chuka.
Oh!
Yeah.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Chuka, it's your birthday.
I'm not going to mention how old you are exactly, but we like myself and someone else, we are nearing our 30s, which is super strange to me. I hear that the 30s are a lot better than your
20s.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited to be a 30-year-old.
I'm like, worth it too. Yeah.
Maybe less self-discovery and more enjoying myself.
Are you excited because your dad told you that that's when you're going to get a mustache?
Yes, that is exactly why. I live with 2 people with very full beards. Yeah. And
I'm not one of those people.
Nope. And if I, including in this podcast, except for Felicia, of course.
Of course. Chuka,
Seb, and Andrew can all grow significant facial hair. Me, I look like a... I look terrible. If I got left on a...
That's not fair, man.
No. The facial hair looks terrible. If I got left on a stranded island and, like, everyone... There's, like a bit about this. I can't remember who did it, but, like, everyone gets stranded on, like, an island, and then they get rescued, and then everyone has, like, awesome beards. And there's, like, one dude who couldn't grow it, and he just looks terrible. Patchy and... It's kind of like puby hair.
It's like your face couldn't afford to grow it. Like it only had enough money for everything.
Your face had a... Like, oh, let's just turn those textures down to medium. I don't know about that.
I know, right? But yeah, about like 6 or 7 or somewhere in the beginning of my 20s, I asked my father if wet... Because he has like a... he has a mustache of like...
It's got like a Burt Reynolds stash.
Burt Reynolds stash, yeah. And I'm like, am I going to get that? Like, when am I going to get that? And then he's like, oh, I didn't get this until I was 30. I'm like, I'm going to hold you to that because there's nothing here.
Yeah, but like progressively over the last year, Gilbert has grown more facial hair than he's ever had. Like,
in my 20s.
Yeah, like literally seeing new hairs all over his face every day. And when I say all over his face, I mean all over his face. Like, he can grow a freaking Waluigi stash.
Yeah. This might not be like an easy translation for everybody, but if you're familiar with the popular anime Naruto, if you look up the main one of the characters' father,
Sakura's dad.
Sakura's dad, Mr. Haruno or whatever. My facial hair will turn like that if it can grow, and it is stupid. It is so fucking stupid.
I don't even remember what her dad looks like.
Good, because then you don't know what my face looks like. It's man, there's this one like bit from Dexter's Lab, and do you remember when he meets all those like
beard and he's part of that squad?
Yeah, with the beard, and it's like it's not the beard on the outside that counts; it's the beard on the inside. I have to live with that childhood fantasy for my adult life.
It's the beard on the inside.
The beard.
But that's all right, because once you hit 30, you're going to be like Gohan and Krillin on Namek when they see like the Elder, and you're going to have like that unlocked potential, and you're going to be able to grow this amazing, like, magnificent beard. And then join the group.
What I think about it, go on.
I feel like I really shouldn't complain, because like, even though I can't grow a beard, like, I still have like a good head of hair, despite how I feel about it.
Yeah.
It's just, if I just looked at it both areas, like, I can't grow a beard and like my hairline was gone. Like, I don't know what I do.
Like, what did you do to anger the gods, basically?
Yeah. I mean, like, I talk about this often. Like, I think I mentioned it to you guys too, like, for like maybe years, like this phase four of my life, which I'm probably circling around like early 30s. Just cut that shit. The minute I start balding, I actually cut that shit immediately. And just keep the beard.
Yeah.
And then that's where I am right now.
Yeah. And I tell Kat that. Kat being my girlfriend. Hello. She's going to listen to this. And I'm like, yeah, that's phase four. And she's like, what if you don't, though? And I'm like, it's already decided.
And like, rock the balding?
Yeah. As Nas once said, it was written. That.
Yeah. It's like, if I'm not meant to have a full head of hair, I'm okay with not having any hair. I'll just grow a really dope beard.
Yeah. I mean, I just have a lot of hair, but like, the problem with the pandemic and not being able to like cut my hair is just, it's growing to levels that like naturally doesn't grow to, so it's like, it's not, I guess it's strong. It's just a little more brittle just because it's growing out so far or further than it needs to. Like, I maybe should invest in, like, you know, hair growth or whatever, so like it can grow more evenly. Like, it's fine. It's like, it's not. There's a lot of hair, but like, I usually cut it way before here, so it looks more even. Yeah.
Have you never thought about cutting your own hair?
Oh, I am black. That's never happening. I will never do that. Unless I'm bald, which makes it easier because it's like, okay, figure out which way your hair grain is going and kind of, you know, shave it. But if I'm trying to get my nice, like
a really nice fade or something.
Yeah, if I'm trying to get my fade, I'm not even touching my lineup.
Okay.
I'm not doing any of that.
That's crazy.
How crazy
I
guess
I never. I always cut my own hair. I never cared about what my hair looked like, and then I eventually just shaved it all off. That's good. One less thing to worry about.
I look like Max Payne in Max Payne.
I kind of do. You know what? If I had a Hawaiian shirt, I would definitely. I could see where you're going, because I do have my beard got so long. Oh my god, you guys have no idea.
Nordic.
Yeah, it's crazy now.
Like a Four Hymns or like a sponsor of some kind. I should reach out to them and see if we can get this podcast sponsored.
Right, Hymns, Dollar Shave Club. What's the other one that's like, hey, yo, this razor's good on your balls. Like, don't worry about that.
Oh, Manscaped.
That's the one.
As presented by former Toronto Raptor Danny Green, presents Manscaped.
Do you think if we mention enough like things, somebody will be like, okay?
Okay. Yeah, there's like, Aziz Ansari has a bit about that, like how he heard like one of his other fellow comedians got sponsored by like a brand just because he was talking about it in a bit, or like he got free product. So he was just like, so if I just keep saying like brand names over and over again, maybe I'll get that free product. So I'm just going to say Klipsch, 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 because he wanted like free headphones. And it's like, does that actually work though? But see, you guys are complaining about like, you know, losing your hair and then like growing out your beards and stuff. I am shit out of luck because I, due to stress, I have begun to lose hair, and like, I don't have a beard to rely on. So like, either I start investing in some heavy eyeshadow so I can rock a Furiosa look. I'm not going to go so far as to say amputee, but just heavy eyeshadow, or I'm just going to look crazy when I'm old.
You should get like tattooed eyebrows. What is that called again? Microblading?
Yeah, it's called microblading.
Oh. No. Well, you got to commit to like a singular eyebrow style forever.
Okay. I don't have eyebrows normally. Like on a good day, you could maybe see the hairs of my eyebrows. But like, I'm Asian. I don't really have a lot of luck in the hair department. Like, if I started suddenly microblading my eyebrows, don't you think that it would be insanely obvious and I would also look really, really weird?
No, I mean, you're thinking about doing it to the point where your eyebrows look full. But, like, instead of getting to that point, you would do only enough so that it looks like you have, like, 50% more volume.
You got mad when your brother did my makeup and filled in my eyebrows. Like, how weird. You couldn't even look at me for a whole evening because of it.
So okay, you're saying just your eyebrows? No, he did everything. Like, you look like a different person. I felt like I was cheating on you when it was with you.
Like, Gilbert, we went to Montreal with Gilbert. And we met up with his brother there. And what ended up happening was, like, his brother got bored and decided to do my makeup. So he's like, okay, now you have to take her out somewhere before going home because I don't want you to waste all of this good makeup. So, like, we went to a bar and Gilbert couldn't, like, make eye contact with me the whole time. I just thought it was maybe because he was, like, drunk or something. But then he told me, like, he asked me, he's like, how are we going to get this off your face? So we needed to stop at Shoppers Drug Mart on the way home so I could get makeup wipes to take it off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, video games.
This is a video game lifestyle podcast.
I guess. I was content with just continuing to listen to this, and I'm like, oh yeah, video game, that happened.
Speaking of bald, protagonist that we're very familiar, who's not quite 30, but 40, but 47.
Oh, there it is.
Hitman 3. Chuka, you've been playing it, right?
Yeah, you're like, we're really familiar with. I'm like, I'm familiar with shit. Like, I've only played Hitman 3, and way back in the day, Hitman on the GameCube. Mm. And that's when I was like 12 or whatever, so I'm like, I didn't get stealth games. Like, this is dumb. Like, like, basically,
wow, man.
The way I look at it, there's a lot of games like from that era, especially like people around this age. It's like, if you didn't play X game when you were younger, you basically read a flowchart where you turned off like experiences to so many other games. Like, I didn't have a PlayStation when I was like younger. I had a PlayStation for like a couple months, but I never played Metal Gear Solid. So I missed all these stealth experiences that I would have really understood because I didn't play Metal Gear Solid 1 back then. And so, like, when I play stuff like Hitman, I was like, what? Like, can I just kill these people? Like, what am I doing? Like, I didn't get the finesse. But now, you know, having played so many games, obviously, since then, and playing Dishonored 2, one of the greatest games ever made, I'm ready for this game. And yeah, I don't know. You know, we're in a period where it's like, it's post-console release. So it's like, any fucking game you can play on your console that like takes advantage of it is good. And you know what's funny, I know a lot of people are going like, oh, when are we gonna get our next gen only games? I'm like, those will come. But honestly, what you should really be taking advantage of is the fact that, you know, you're gonna have a lot of games that are on both like console generations, but on the PS5 and the Xbox, like Series X and stuff, it's going to be that much better. You're going to be able to do things that, you know, later down the line, I'm not sure if they can. Like, Hitman on the Series X is, like, native 4K, 60 frames. Like, it's Reflections. I didn't even know this. Like, it has, like, if you're familiar with Reflections and stuff, it has SSR Reflections. That's just a type of quality of reflection, so it makes it look more realistic. I thought that shit was ray tracing. I didn't even know. Like, they've gotten that good with it that I thought it was just straight up ray tracing. Although then I did see some ray tracing in the media, and I'm like, okay. But that's another game. But anyway, so Hitman looks, like, fantastic. Like, it looks really good. There's a level that takes place in China and in Chongqing, and in the rain and the neon signs. Like, it's like one of the cleanest game that I've ever seen. Like, it's so, so, so clean. In spite of the fact that, like, it's not a AAA game, which is funny to think about it, but, like, actually, Hitman is a AAA. Like, IO Interactive, they're an indie studio, basically. And so there's certain things that will reflect in it. But anyway, Hitman 3 kind of scratches the itch that I have with games, which is, like, level design and latitude. I guess, like, gameplay latitude. It's scratching that opportunity for things that Dishonored would have, where you could do all these kind of things with the tools given to you, but a little more structured. Like, they have challenges and stuff. So I guess the way it works, if I pull it out again, Hitman's basic gameplay loop is this: you get to a level, it has options to do things. It has these things called mission stories, and these are the things that it's like, hey, do these things because they'll give you the most amount of experience in this level, and it'll give you like examples of how to think about the systems in the level. Like, there's one level in the game. It's the second level. It takes place at a British manor, and it's basically Knives Out. Like, it's basically that movie. And one of the mission stories or like objectives you can do.
Did Chuka cut out?
Yeah, I think Chuka just cut out.
Oh, no. It appears Agent 47 has cut Chuka.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So let me run that back. So basically what I was saying is there's a second level in the second level in Hitman 3 takes place at a British manor, and it's basically Knives Out. Insofar as there's an inspector there to inspect a murder, and you can take it over, and basically you have all these things where you can find clues and piece together things that have happened to solve this murder, or what the game starts to introduce is like, oh, you can blame it on this person to get your objective done. But when you get these kind of, like, I guess stylized kills done, it gives you experience to level up the level, if that makes any sense. Like, let's say you go into the level and you have to show up and kind of sneak your way into the house. If you do enough things, like when it counts your experience at the end of a run that you've done, it'll be like, oh, now you start in the garden because you somehow infiltrated there as a gardener. Or, oh, now you started in the library, which is a floor away from your actual target. So it really incentivizes you playing the game again and like finding different challenges to do things like, oh, there's a challenge, I think, in that level in particular where it's like there is a chandelier or a giant light fixture made of mousses. And if you time it right, so like if you pay attention to like the, I guess like the NPCs, like, I guess their flow, like their loop, like who they're going to talk to and stuff, you time it right, you can shoot it down without anyone actually seeing you shoot it down and kill them instantly and then get like 4,000 experience and just walk out the door and finish it. So I've been playing that a lot. The main story, I don't really know because, fuck it, I didn't really play the first two. But what I found the most interesting and, like, the biggest selling point for this game, other than the way it looks, is, like, the levels are so, like, well-designed. Like, I can only imagine, there's six levels, but, like, I can only imagine how much design time went into each of these levels. It's insane. Like, the amount of things that interact that you don't have to pay attention to and you can complete. Like, for example, going into someone's... I found my way upon going into someone's apartment and then found a form there. I'm like, what's this form for? And I took this form around, and I found this guy who's apparently supposed to get a tour of the factory in which I need to get into to kill a target. And I didn't even realize I could even do that. And I'm like, oh, well, I have poison. I guess I can go poison this food. So then I went, I choked out a dude, took his uniform, prepared the food, poisoned the food, waited for him to eat the food, went to the bathroom and then like drowned him, took his clothes and then went into the factory and got a tour. And then proceeded to go into this factory, into this facility, choked out a guard who wasn't looking, took his clothes, and then waited for the target that I needed to go to the break room because, like, I realized you can make these people go on break. And she's like, wait, what the fuck are these people doing? Tell them to get the fuck back to work. So she goes to the break room, and I walk slightly ahead of her. And there's, like, a little, fucking a ventilator, or not ventilator, there's a vent opening, whatever. And, like, you can, it regulates the air in this break room because it's pumping, like chemicals into the air to kind of relax the people in there. Some fucked up shit. But I'm like, oh, what if I just fill the air with chloroform? So I just so she goes in there and she's just like, I deserve to take a break. Fuck these people, get them out of here. And she's like, I'm a little sleepy, you know what, I should just take a break. And she just gets knocked out, and I just come in there and like shoot one bullet and walk away.
Nice. Direct.
It's a really, it's a great game. It's a hilarious game. Like, it's super funny.
You know, I have you guys seen any of those like Hitman memes on like TikTok or Instagram or anything like that?
No.
Like, it's my first day as like a Hitman. I've been seeing a lot of those lately, and I feel like Hitman came out at a great time because like it's all these people who are clearly not very good at being like pretending to be Hitman, and it's like oh, my first day as a blind Hitman. And it's just the guy like opening a pack and like blatantly pouring it into the guy's glass and like feeling for it. Or the other one, it's like someone who pours in like a poison packet into a glass and stirs it with their finger, looks around, licks their finger, and walks away, and then like drops dead. I'm like, oh, this is hilarious.
What do I think?
And then I just remembered that, oh, like Hitman's out.
Yeah. I love to just like walk around with different like items, like implements that are this goofy. Just gonna, it's my favorite thing to do is just get things like, I don't know, like I'll have a brick, a crowbar, an iron, a can of pop, a cowboy bus. Like, I'll just take as much shit as I can take so I can knock people out with it.
Like, you just throw random shit at them.
Yeah, just like fucking in this facility underground, I just have an iron. I just throw the iron at the guard and put them away. And it's never not fun to just see someone materialize an iron or a baseball. Just toss this baseball at their head. It's a really good streaming game, I think. That's like, I've been playing it, and like Kat has come and watched it a bit. It's really good to watch. It's like funny to watch, like to see kind of the Rube Goldberg machine of things. Of going, like, I've set this whole thing up so that this dude is gonna eat this thing and go to the washroom, so I can choke him out at this party. Or like, this dude is trying to pick up, this delivery guy is trying to pick up weed from his dealer in the party. What if I just like choked him out and put him in a manhole cover and then took his clothes, stole his food, poisoned his food, gave that to a biker who won't let me in otherwise, poisoned the biker, get into this weird drug facility, and then kill my target and walk away. Like, it's really... I do regret not playing the reboot they did in 2016, like, kind of the reimagining, or suppose. Like, I didn't play Hitman 1 or 2, but, like, playing this game, those games would totally be up my alley. Like, I'm really into like expansive level design, like full of details and stuff like that, which is again why I like Dishonored 2. And like the like Dishonored 2 and like Link to the Past are really good about, like, Link to the Past dungeons are really even still, because like, remember when I played Link to the Past like 4 years ago?
Like, for the first time?
For the first time, and I'm like, damn, yeah, these dungeons are crazy! Like, like, it's still held up years later. I think, like, those examples of really good level design, I think Hitman is not on a scale of those two, but it's close, which is saying a lot. Like, I really like Hitman. I hope they do the elusive target thing soon. But yeah, it's really good.
One thing I know Seb's really into is baseball, and for the first time in
crazy
like a decade, I don't know how long it's been.
But... Oh no, dude, it's been a long time. Like, yeah. if you're about to get into MLB the Show, and it coming out on an Xbox or a Microsoft console for the first time ever since, like, when did the first one come out? The Show, like 2006, I think. Was the very first MLB the Show on PS2? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Sony, it used to be.
Yeah, Sony's been publishing a baseball game on their consoles since then. And for the first time ever, they're going to publish it and release it on a Microsoft console.
It looks weird.
It does. The cover does look weird, and I haven't seen a baseball game since 2K. I don't even remember the last year that 2K did a baseball game. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm torn as to where I want to buy it. Like, do I want to get it on PlayStation? I'm not big into sports games, but I do like baseball. It's better than I think people give credit for. Everyone's like, it's boring. Yeah, the sport itself. Everyone says that it's boring, and, you know, like, I can understand that. But at the same time, like, I've never been a sports game, like, enthusiast. I find it very hard to, like, sit down and do something that I could just do outside, which is why I like playing other games. Like, you know, I'll play Grand Theft Auto, or I'll play, you know, Strange Brigade. Yeah, like, I'm not going to run into mummies outside. Yeah. So, like, I'll play that, but... No, for me to sit down and play baseball, I do own some of MLB The Show. I bought the year, I think it's 2012 or 13, when Jose Bautista was on the cover. I bought that version, and I have it signed, which is really nice as well.
Cool.
Was it signed by Stan Lee?
No, Jose Bautista. Why would it be signed by Stan Lee?
I mean,
how valuable that would be.
Blue Jays in the MCU. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy to think that it's going to... So, yeah, I'm torn. I don't know where to buy it on. Do I buy it on PlayStation? Or do I buy it on Xbox? Because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right?
But, Seb, that means you have to turn your PlayStation on.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid.
When's the time you put on your PS5?
Probably about a week ago, but I mainly play my Series X.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, Game Pass it's very hard to like ignore. I have stuff on PS5, but none of it is like, and to be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of the controller. The buttons feel kind of
really
funny.
Wow.
The triggers are cool. Like there, I do like the haptic feedback that it has. But there's just something about the actual face buttons themselves and the D-pad that just feels very off about it. I played a lot of Street Fighter V on my PS4, and that controller, perfectly fine. It worked great. And I played a few games on PS5 using the other controller, and it just didn't feel great. So maybe it's, I don't know if it's because I'm not used to it.
But is that DualSense hard enough for you?
So it doesn't do anything in Street Fighter V. It does absolutely nothing. There's nothing programmed, because it has to be programmed by the developers in order to have that stuff. Street Fighter's not going to have that stuff, because they don't care if I feel the feedback of a light punch or a heavy kick. That doesn't mean anything to me. So
I'm not sure you'd want that, though. Like, if you're
no.
That's the thing about the DualSense. I think the DualSense is a like incredible piece of technology. Like I really want to play Astro's Playroom, because that sounds like something I've never seen before. Like being able to emulate the kind of rumble you'd have depending on the surface you're on, whether it's like ice or sand, or like that's next level shit. But
yeah,
like in
is,
multiplayer
it
games
is very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want that. Like I have an objective. Like I don't need anything distracting me. Like I wouldn't. Like in a single player game, like I know Deathloop, Microsoft's Deathloop. when it comes to the PS5 later, for a year or whatever, such a bizarre thing. But anyway, it's gonna have like the haptic feedback. If you're out of ammo, it'll lock the gun. Like it'll work for that. Like an immersive sim or whatever. Like I think it's immersive.
Yeah.
Sim. It's like the Dishonored guys, but it'll work for that. But like if I'm playing like Modern Warfare or something, I don't want that shit.
What I mentioned earlier with that signed copy of what's it called? MLB The Show. I did a quick search. I did not find it, but there is a lot of MLB memorabilia signed by Stan Lee available on eBay that goes upwards of $600.
Why?
But why?
Because Spider-Man, someone drew Spider-Man's face on a baseball, and then they got Stan Lee to sign it.
Oh, okay. I've all right.
Oh, that's only one of them. Never mind. There's like plenty others that are just baseballs and baseball bats signed by Stan Lee.
I mean, fuck it. You know, you're getting a signature from Stan Lee. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what you put it on.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, but that's the thing. It's like those items, are they purposely telling me that they went to a convention with a baseball bat, or was it like, holy crap, you're walking down the street and I just saw Stan Lee and I happened to be coming from the park after hitting a couple dingers, you know, like how did you arrive with this baseball bat to give it to Stan Lee? Or did you purposely just go and buy it and they're like, I want him to sign it? Like, there's so many questions that I need answered that have nothing to do with anything.
Well, I mean, like, you know, you've got, I guess, like, in an extreme sense, you could have women asking movie stars, rock stars to, like, sign their underwear or their bra or their boobs, you know? Like, that's not necessarily related to their fandoms. Like, if I got Henry Cavill to sign my bra, it wouldn't matter that it was my bra. It has nothing to do with Superman or The Witcher.
But I feel like that's a fairly common thing, though.
Exactly. And like Stan Lee, sorry. Stan Lee, bless his soul, like, was a very unusual man. Yeah, he was an unusual man. So I feel like that's pretty on par.
Man, it would have been great if he was hitting dingers and Stan Lee's like, let me sign this for you.
Wants to okay, see so some dingers.
I'm trying to find it, but there is a comic of Batman number one signed by Stan Lee.
Of course there is.
Jesus Christ. People are relentless.
I mean, oh, though, here. Like, but on the topic, I guess, of, it. Like, the show kind of being on Xbox, it's interesting. It's weird, but it's not unprecedented. I mean, lest we not forget, Minecraft is a Microsoft game.
Yeah.
But you want to call that a Microsoft exclusive? Like, that's not bringing people to Xbox.
No, I mean, even after they acquired it, like, post that, it appeared on, like, 3DS, all the Nintendo platforms, and a bunch of other stuff.
Mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they shared it right away.
What I'm saying is basically, you look at that, and then you even look at some of the stuff Microsoft did where they're like, we'll bring, like, not Cuphead, because Microsoft didn't own Cuphead, if I recall correctly. Did they? No, they didn't.
No, I don't think so.
No. But they brought Ori to the Switch.
True.
Yeah,
like, Microsoft, I feel like, has been savvy enough to recognize. I mean, because they've made a play, and I wonder if Sony's going to do more of these things. Like, they made a play, obviously, with their PC shit. They knew it was going to happen because of the Microsoft PC, but they have done things where, like, you know what, this will probably work on the Switch. Like, sure, you guys can have Banjo. Sure. Like, or even certain things with, like, the Bethesda acquisition. I think that's going to be the big... I wonder what this sets up with that, because them putting the show on Xbox, I wonder how much of that is them going, you know what, good faith, and, like, there's more money to be had here.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I'll scratch my back if you scratch.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I wonder if it's that, or if the MLB's like, listen, because they signed a partnership deal to extend it or whatever they had, and I wonder if, like, we want more. Like, we can't just have you guys making this only thing here. But I wonder, you know, the next Elder Scrolls, like, Microsoft doesn't have to play by those rules. Like, they own that shit entirely. So I wonder if this is kind of like the beginning of Sony going, you know, we gave you the show, so maybe you guys can give us Starfield, which, honestly, I don't think they're going to get Starfield. I honestly think I think it's interesting to think about Microsoft going either A, getting the money from, like, people on Sony platforms for the next Elder Scrolls, or just making it so that, you know, this is the only way to play the next Elder Scrolls. I honestly believe they'll put that on the PlayStation. I think stuff like Starfield, that's only coming to Xbox. The new Indiana Jones game, that's only coming to Xbox. But I think the next Elder Scrolls is going to be on PlayStation.
I can see that.
I think so.
I don't see them cutting out the Sony market. Not on that. And I honestly don't think that, like, MLB, as great as, like, San Diego Studios is as a developer, and how good the show is usually year to year, just as, like, a baseball sim, I don't think it has that much clout to be, like, a bargaining chip for something that would be... If Microsoft decided, no, this is only going to be on our console sharing a baseball game, I can't say that Xbox fans aren't hungry for a baseball game, but I just don't. I don't know if it carries.
They're tired of RBI.
Yeah, I don't know if it carries that much weight with it. But it is a big deal that Sony was willing to part with this. Like that, I think carries more weight that itself rather than the game itself. Sony willing to be like, here, we'll give you this. Especially since we like basically shut down 2K from making a baseball game, like they couldn't compete anymore. So yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, especially how it sells on Xbox.
I agree. I think it'll do well. I just wish I had a crystal ball to see like what does the landscape for these consoles look like in 2022, because there's a lot of shadow games in terms of like things getting either delayed or like, I mean, for example, we don't even really know this. I guess it comes up in the news today. They said they're looking toward the European Union. I can't remember the regulation, but to review the Bethesda buyout, like it should come to a close by then, March 5th. So what will they ultimately decide? Because I feel like there's things with that I'm like, they're talking very carefully because A, they don't own Bethesda yet, and unless something goes wrong, then they won't own them, but it seems like it's pretty much sewed up. But like, they're being very careful with that. Like Nintendo, on the other hand, we've heard about the Switch Pro, and I think Nintendo came out today saying, we have no plans for a Switch Pro, and I'm like, I don't believe that. And Sony, actually, now I think about Sony, the only one I'm like, and a credit to them, they're like, this is what the fuck we're doing. You're getting a Gran Turismo, you're getting a new Horizon, like you're getting that Kena game, you're getting Ratchet. Don't call me, don't bother me. We'll sell you the console when we can. All right, I'm out of here. Whereas with Microsoft, with Nintendo, it's like, what's going on? Or even like someone like Blizzard, where the hell is Overwatch 2? Like, there's so many questions that I'm like, what's going on with all these things in this industry? And that's before you even get to that other thing that's happening tangentially to the industry with those damn stocks.
Ooh, big stonks.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned on our previous episode, we're all former employees of EB Games, which is a whose parent company is GameStop.
Yeah,
if you know, you've been looking at the news at all, you've been seeing that there is a situation in terms of people battling Wall Street and you know, giving them a big fuck you to all those what's it called, hedge funds and short sellers and la di da di da. Like, you don't need me explain to you. I'm not even like knowledgeable in the idea.
I think you should explain it. I think anytime you talk about this, You need to. It's confusing. Like, okay, yeah.
All right, I'll try and explain. So GameStop is not a good situation. I've been, again, as a former employee, I liked watching their stocks fall. And apparently other people like doing that too, because what they do is they'll short them, and people will sell their stocks to people with the idea that that the company will fail and they can make a profit off of people investing in a company that, you know, won't make anything. But a couple weeks ago on the subreddit Wall Street Bets...
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you there. Break that down further. A short call. Like a short...
that literally a short. They were betting on a company tanking, so they get people to invest So that way they sell, no, they can sell the stock to somebody. And, oh God, I have no education in this. I'm not like in stocks or trading or anything. I've watched several videos of people explaining it who do it much better than me. But the gist of it is people are trying to take advantage of this company tanking and convincing people to buy into it so that they can make a profit off of people making bad investments.
Okay, I can explain it further. Okay.
Go. Like,
do you need an explanation of what shorting is? Because
I think that too. Yeah, I think that's the thing I think a lot of people have gotten hung up on. I've been trying to explain it to like my brother, I've talked to my cat, like I've even talked to my mom, because my mom saw it too, and it's like, that's the thing that's like confusing. Shorting. Okay.
So shorting is a bet that a company's stock will become less valuable. So an investor sells shares of a stock at a certain, usually high price, in the belief that sometime in the near future, the price of that stock will go down. They will then be able to buy the stock at the lower price to cover their shorts, closing the deal and pocketing the difference between the price they sold at and bought it as a profit. So this is something that really, really big hedge funds do all the time. Often by betting against a company, short sellers are able to put downward pressure on the stock price. So basically, they're driving down the stock price by doing that. What that means is that a struggling company's stock price can go down simply because a giant hedge fund invests millions or hundreds of millions of dollars into shorting it. So short sellers can actually still lose out. So this happens when they bet on a stock price to go down, but instead it goes up. Theoretically, there is actually no limit on how much money a short seller can lose, because that money doesn't actually exist. So if a short seller shorts a stock at $20, the stock price can continue to go up, and the short seller must at some point buy that stock to close its position and fulfill its side of the bargain. So if I short one stock at 20 and the price of that stock goes to $1 million, I still have to at some point buy that share to close the deal. So effectively, I would lose $999,980. So in the GameStop case, a company called Melvin Capital Management shorted millions of dollars in GameStop stock. And like basically, this company made a risky bet that GameStop stock would continue to go down, allowing it to profit immensely as they usually do. Because I think it was like at $2 at some point in the last month, right?
It's not as low as $4.
Yeah, I think the lowest guy was like $4, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's basically what shorting is, which I got the information off of Vice because everyone was like, what does this mean? Should I buy stocks?
Yeah. Yeah, you had a lot of FOMO stock shit where people were like, oh shit, I should invest in that, oh dang. And like the situation gets wilder, I guess, expanding past the idea of like games and stuff. But like you have things like Robinhood, like is an app, it's like a retail investment app. Retail investment meaning like it's investing for everyday people, like not investors. So like you can buy stocks of this app. And it's pretty easy to get into. You can get in and pay for it. And Robinhood's just like, yeah, we're going to not allow people. We're going to restrict the amount of stocks that people can pay in toward GameStop, AMC, which is the other kind of, I guess, what they call them, meme stocks. The other kind of stock that's driving up in price because of Reddit basically driving it up and like throwing Wall Street into chaos. And everyone's like, wait a second. So let me get it straight. Y'all can fuck around with the stock market as you see fit. But now that, you know, everyday people are doing this, now it's not okay. It's like, I saw someone summarize it pretty interesting where they're like, oh, here's your $600 stimulus check. And it's like, all right, cool. Can I invest this here? Like, no, don't do that. And it's like, what? I just think it's interesting to look at the dynamic between... You have people on Bloomberg, not Jason Schreier. I think Jason Schreier is weird in that he's the perfect dude for this because he's someone who has some mild understanding of business and obviously a lot of games understanding. But you have a lot of people, and I'm seeing a lot of takes from like post-boomers, like old-ass boomers, with financial writers and stuff like that, not even really knowing what GameStop is or just calling it GameSpot, like the review site, not really knowing what it is. And then you have like people who are like writers, like culture writers and stuff like that, who are like millennials and shit like that, but don't really understand like the business side of it. Like, it's just like two people not really understanding the full reality of both things. Although I at least would say the people who are writing it from it, that not on like a financial lens, have at least a base understanding about how finances work to some degree, more than like Joe Boomer at Bloomberg, who just like, I don't know what's going on with this GameStop, but they should stop. It's very bad. You're making the economy very sick. He's very sick. He needs ginger ale. Stop buying the stock. And it's just this wild collision as a cultural piece, and it's just interesting to think this all starts with fucking GameStop. Like, the place, right? The place where you can get a shirt that says, I haven't aged, I just leveled up. This is the place that potentially has thrown like Wall Street into chaos. Not even potentially, it has. And
so this, oh yeah, go
on. I was gonna say, I probably transition to what you're gonna say.
Go on. This has nothing to do with how GameStop functions as a company and how well they are. This is a more or less a principle of something going on, and how you know, how everyday people are now manipulating the stock market to their advantage, and you see all of these, you know, all these other, you know, one percenters crying. I guess this is like a more successful like Occupy Wall Street thing going on right now.
Yeah, it is. It's literally like a Robin Hood type situation, which ironically, Robin Hood is
stealing from the poor and giving to the rich.
A little David versus Goliath.
Like, this is what's crazy, is like anyone should technically be able to access the stock market and make investments for themselves. It's hilarious that this started out as a fucking joke, and it exploded to this point. Like, now AMC is actually like in the mix too. Like, people are buying AMC stock because so many hedge funds bet that since theaters are closing down, that they wouldn't actually be able to survive the pandemic. Like, this is what's crazy. It's like, we're now living in a time where there are real life Robin Hoods existing. Like, what is 2021? Like, I don't remember.
This year has been fucked.
Yeah.
Think about it. What was the first Wednesday of this year? It was the Capitol riots.
Yeah.
And then the next one was the impeachment. And then the other one was the inauguration. And then the next Wednesday was the GameStop stocks. So this week, Wednesday,
can't wait.
Expect something.
Every Wednesday is an adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That makes me so anxious.
Oh, it's like this week on reality.
Yeah.
You hear how, what is it? Is it Domino's and Popeyes are getting into this GameStop situation? In some,
what do you mean?
Let's see here. I
had Domino's today.
I follow the subreddit for like our GameStop on Reddit, and they're like, please don't ask us about stocks. It doesn't really affect us because they will never see it because it's a shit company.
And I think
I saw a couple posts where people were showing that Domino's and Popeyes were, I don't know if it's Popeyes as well, but they were showing that like they're getting free food from them. And someone was like, hey, look, oh, thanks to the people who made gains on stocks, these people are taking care of us better than our corporate overlords. And it's like a large pepperoni pizza and some other stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, this is intense. Like,
that's actually really nice, though.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. What's happening? I'm confused.
Here, let me try and find it. Because I saw it very briefly, and I didn't realize that it was like a thing.
So like GameStop. Domino's is sending GameStop employees food.
Send me a goddamn pizza.
Where is it?
Yeah, after all the years that you guys got put in, you should be like grandfathered into any rewards.
Any free pizza, right? God damn it.
Yeah. I wouldn't take it.
The last time you got free pizza while you were working at at EB Games you got food poisoning.
No, no, no. That's not true. Last time we got free pizza, it was because it was late, and then the Gilbert was asking him a question, and the guy refused to answer, and he walked away.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
You don't remember that? When the pizza at your house was like, it was supposed to be like a half an hour, 40 minutes, and it took like an hour? And then it was late, and the guy said that he'd messaged that he was outside.
He called to say he was outside, and we were standing there. I'm like,
what are you talking about? We're at the door. You're not here. Like, and all you did was ask him. So, like, what do we do? Because it's late. And he's like, you don't want to pay for it? You don't want to pay for it? And you're like, we just want to know what to do.
I'm like, hey, man, has this ever happened before? I've never gotten a free pizza. Like, what happens when it's – is it actually 40 minutes or it's free? He's like, well, it wasn't late. I'm like – Yes, you were. And then it turned into me asking about, like, do people actually get free pizzas for this? Because it's never happened to me. Because I've somehow lucked out in 29 years to never get a late pizza. Or 28 years at that time. No, 27. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a while ago, man.
No, but, like, I'm talking about how at work, at EB Games, the last time Gilbert got a free pizza, he got food poisoning.
I mean, I got pizza... Like, I mean, the only time I got free pizza is when they made us pay for it and then expense it.
The food poisoning one, though, I remember, and that's because they thought that pizza was going to be for somebody else.
Yeah, because they really didn't like that guy. And
they really didn't like
him. This guy was kissing my ass because he wanted me to like him, and then he gave me food poisoning, and then I can't unassociate him from that.
Right? It's like you tried to kill me.
And you ruined Quiznos for me as well.
Oh man, Quiznos.
Yeah, that guy has a lot to answer for. Quiznos. <I guess.
laughs> Jesus.
Sorry, go on, Chuka.
Chuka? I don't hear Chuka.
Like Boxing Day, they'd be like, alright, here's $40. Get the crew some lunch because you guys ain't going fucking nowhere. So
I don't know if the others can hear you, Chuka. You can? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Sorry, go on, Chuka. Yes.
Was he mentoring Master the Pizza or something? I don't know.
No. No.
Stop bringing it up.
I fucking hate that video. And then Chuka laughs every single time. Yeah, that laugh.
He does fuck you for sending us that video of that spaghetti-o pie.
Oh my glorious.
God.
I wanted the gag. Ugh. I mean, you could describe it for the person listening.
No, I want to describe Maestro de Pizza now. So Maestro de Pizza, if you look it up on YouTube, Maestro. So like, I mean, it's Master of Pizza, but Maestro de Pizza one of my favorite YouTube videos. It's just this Brazilian pizza shop making the most grotesque looking pizza possible.
It's it so has good. Canned corn. And, like, it was cooked in a fire oven that's fueled by garbage.
Don't spoil it for them. They need to see the layers unravel.
The mayonnaise. Yeah. The mayonnaise out of a bag.
In the before times, we had a rule where basically... I watched the video so much of the Gilbert's Place. The rule was I could only watch the video at Gilbert's Place if there was a new person present. Otherwise, I couldn't watch it.
Someone has to say, "What's Master the Pizza?" And then Chuka would just be smiling.
See, like, at least like when we make you watch shitty movies, like most of us are okay with it, even if we're shitting on it. But like, nobody likes this video except for you.
Yeah, you get such a kick out of it, and I don't understand why, because it's just infuriating.
It's disgusting.
You should force Chuka to watch the Hitman movies.
Ooh.
I will watch Hitman movies if you watch. If I can put Master of Pizza on in the aftertime when things are better, if I can put Master of Pizza on any time, then I'll watch the Hitman movies.
Brendan Fraser marathon.
Yes.
If I can find the guy who owns that restaurant and made that pizza on Fiverr to say happy birthday, Ichika, would you be happy?
Yes, I would be.
Oh my god. See, nobody else heard that except for me and Seb, and I'm really glad because we're going to...
Heard what?
We're going to trick you.
His name is Fabiano Souza.
How do you know his name?
That's his YouTube channel.
Oh.
Oh, God. He's got more videos? Got
it. Does he really?
No.
I feel like you should know this. Why don't you have this information?
Because it was perfection. I didn't need any more.
You're like Magneto
and Mystique.
And Mystique.
Like, all I can say about that video is that, like, do you know what you, like, apply drywall with? Like, when you're covering up, like...
A spackle?
Yeah, like a spackle. Yeah, that's the one. All I'm going to say is that comes into play in that video, in a pizza-making video, for Christ's sakes. I'm so mad.
Sometimes I feel like
more pleasant.
Yeah.
Okay. There's another game simulating now. It's a mix of Division 2 and The Last of Us called The Day Before. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
Oh, cool. Third person, like, massive multiplayer game with zombies and stuff like that, but kind of looks like Division meets
If you say The Last of Us, those are literally the games I just said.
I was trying to, because I remember seeing a video, but I couldn't remember if that was the name of it. But that's kind of what it, looked like The Division, and it was raining. All I really remember out of that video was the really cheesy, like, voice acting overlay that's, like pretending that we're playing the game. No. It was like,
do you remember the Division gameplays they showed? And it's like they're like trying to talk casual tactically.
Is that what they did in that game? Honestly, I don't even really remember the original Division gameplay trailer. But yeah, like, that shit really bothers me. Like, don't tell me you're pretending to play the game for real, because you're obviously not.
Tactical speak, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe we should split up here. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, Jack. But none of that sounds like, we don't talk to each other like that.
Oh, awesome loot in here.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
When we find anything in that game, we're like, oh, there's things in here. There's a room.
Thingy. Oh, armor dude.
There's zombies in this one, so it's kind of interesting. It's supposed to be like an MMO survival kind of situation.
Yeah, where people can kill you and shit. Like, it looked really interesting.
Yeah. I feel like those games are getting more and more, like, popular, like Escape from Tarkov and, you know, I mean, I can't really think of any more at the top of my head, but it's survival and Battle Royale-esque in some way.
Would DayZ classify as that?
Yeah, DayZ would be, like, the progenitor to all of it. So I guess this is, like, if DayZ is to...
If it just had more money, basically.
Yeah, I guess if it had more money. But who knows? Looks interesting. I mean, I want to see more gameplay. I might play that. But one thing.
Sorry to interrupt. What was the name again?
The Day Before.
Day Before. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Ooh.
The Day Before. The Day.
I know we're coming up on time, but I wanted to talk about a game that Gilbert and I have been playing. Mostly because we saw, like, a super outlandish gameplay of it online.
Let's game it out. I already know what you're going to talk about.
And Satisfactory.
I'm excited to hear about it.
Satisfactory
is so fun. So, like, when Gilbert and I play, like, these... It's not really a survival game. It's like a survival open world building game, I guess you could say. Gilbert's the kind of guy that, like, sticks at home base and wants to make home base look really dope. Like, we were playing Grounded with Andrew and Seb, and, like, Gilbert spent the whole time trying to make our base.
Yeah, and you, like, did a great job with our little hut.
Yeah, like, Gilbert is literally So
Master DeBase.
If you don't know what Satisfactory is, it's like basically you're stranded on an alien planet, and like one of your main goals is to like build like a space elevator so that you could like bring items back and forth and from wherever and from the planet that you're currently on.
Harvest and, like, all the resources.
Yeah, so you've got to like harvest all the resources. It's like the shitty part of Mass Effect, basically. And you have to like troll the planet to try to find resources, and you want to find like efficiencies in gathering those resources so that you could build more things, like increase like your hub's potential and stuff. And so, but I'm the kind of person that likes to adventure. But given that this is a game that only Gilbert and I are playing, I'm going out on these adventures by myself, and I'm constantly being attacked by what I can only call lava cats, tiger dillos, and whales on stilts.
Whales on stilts.
Yeah. It's like a really, really fun game. I actually had a dream about it last night because we haven't played it in a couple days. And it's just really, really fun. I die a lot because I'm adventuring by myself. I literally dragged Gilbert away from making our base more efficient so that he could come truffle hunting with me in a cave, in a mystery cave full of spiders.
That fall from the ceiling and run at you.
Which, no. Like, Gilbert is afraid of spiders, by the way.
Ooh, arachnid
spiders? I just dislike them. I'll fight them. I just don't want to have to. Speaking of that, I don't have arachnophobia, but thinking about when you just mentioned Grounded and what I do in Grounded and in Satisfactory, I might have mild agoraphobia.
Oh, you don't like holes?
No.
Although he does have that phobia too, where he doesn't like to look at like holy textured things.
Oh, like porous things? That grosses me out. That's a different thing altogether. That just makes me sick. I used to think this is like relatively serious, not really. This is just me thinking about things. But I used to think that agoraphobia was like a fear of open spaces. But after a quick Google search, agoraphobia is a fear of being in situations where escape might be difficult or that help would not be available if things go wrong. So many people assume that agoraphobia is simply a fear of open spaces. But is actually more complex condition. Someone with agoraphobia might be scared of traveling on public transport. I have lots of like stories of, you know, I always have to know where like a bathroom is. The time I almost got arrested on a plane because I needed to use the washroom because I was having a panic attack. And like a lot of that was like, I started thinking about it and like the way I do things. And I'm like, the way I'm also weirdly okay being home during this like entire pandemic. And I'm like, I'm realizing that I might have to like talk to somebody and explore this because I had no, like, I just like associated like, oh, I just have like anxiety. I just don't like being on public transport.
And or like, that you had motion sickness, which is I thought that you had, but it's
it was motion sickness too. It's not motion sickness. And yeah, this is, it's like, I was looking, I don't want to like self-diagnose, but like the more I look at like, again, that's like what happens when you're like, what, a hypochondriac or whatever, right? Like where you just keep looking at things. I'm like, oh, I could definitely relate to every single point on here. But I bounced some of them off of Felicia, and then she didn't want to say it, or she didn't want to diagnose, because again, no one can really diagnose someone for these kinds of things unless you're professionally trained, of course. But yeah, it's something that I didn't even realize would translate into video games. Like, I literally stay at home base. I want everything to function properly and have all my, like, everything within arm's reach. And I very rarely move from, like my initial space. And it takes a lot of prep work for me to move from one place to another place. So then, you know, that transition is easy as possible. I know. That's a little bit of self-discovery for me.
Yeah, like even when we go on vacations and stuff, like you need to have a purpose for going somewhere that is like not that, like is very far away from home. Because otherwise you're just like, I don't want to go to this place.
Yeah. Sorry about the serious tone there.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that.
But one thing I'm really enjoying is the game Skull.
Skull.
Or Skull, because it's 1L, and it's the Slayer of Heroes. It's a roguelike made from a... that recently released and came out of Early Access. Made by a Korean developer. I can't remember the name. But it is a, you know, a 2D action roguelike. You play a skull, and the big thing is you gain different powers by removing your skull and putting on or donning the other skulls of other things.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Are you just describing Dynamite Heady?
I might be.
It's or Deadhead Fred.
Deadhead Fred is the one I'm familiar with.
Damn. You ain't knowing nothing about Dynamite Heady. Not Dynamite. That boy. Dynamite Heady for the Sega Genesis.
Oh my god. There's two D's in Heady.
Yeah.
It's just, you know. I mean, is it a roguelike?
No, it's just a not good platformer. Actually, I'm a pretty good platformer, honestly. You know, Dino Hater was alright.
It looks like a ripoff of Rayman.
It was there first. Fuck Rayman, asshole.
Oh. Rayman.
Wow.
So aggressive there.
But yeah, that's cool. You can collect like bone shards and coins to get different items and different like create different builds. There's tons of different skulls, so you can level them up, going from like from common, rare, all the way up to like legendary as per usual rating systems. I haven't even beaten the game yet. Like I am like 40 hours into it, and I have not gotten to like the final boss, which is the first hero. You technically would play what would be normally seen as the villain in this game, because you work for the Demon Lord, but his army has been defeated because the humans have broken their contract of like whatever peace treaty there was, and led a crusade against like the Demon Lord's kingdom, even though they weren't really doing anything. And then as his last soldier, you rescue the generals and other important people that become shops or like different upgrade systems for you, and this is like the game is so close to Dead Cells in a lot of ways that at one point you can actually pick up a Dead Cells skull, and it is an entire reference to the character, the prisoner from Dead Cells. And I'm like, at least he knows, that he's very close to that. And it's I'm playing it on Steam, and I've been like just mashing the hell out of my controller. I'm kind of worried now that my X button doesn't work, so I took a small break.
Wow.
But yeah, really good. If you like roguelikes, those short committal games and, 2D platformers, I'd say check it out. It's not too expensive. Also, there's always improvements in balancing. The guy's very vocal and very, passionate about his game. So I've since launch, I think there's been two like fixes and some patch balancing. And it's like the game is in a very comfortable position now. I'm getting much further into the game. I think I'm actually in like chapter 4 or 5 now, which are I think the last two.
Oh, you beat the twins?
I beat the gold main twins. The boss fights in this game are really fun because I think they for the most part have like two stages to them. Like they'll have like a normal mode, and then when you drain that health bar, there'll be like a rage mode. When you fight the twins that Felicia was mentioning, once you defeat one of them, the other one will go into a rage mode, get like a new health bar and a different set of like attacks that you have to like learn on the fly that are much faster, that are telegraphed in different ways. So it took some adjusting to get that. Like I have like a against them, like I can clear it 70% of the time now. Still difficult.
That reminds me of the Orenstein and Smog fight from. Was it Dark Souls?
Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Like the panel when you. Same time?
Oh yeah. No! That reminds me of that fucking goddamn ape, guardian ape from Sekiro, and it's like, guardian ape. From Sekiro. And then the other ape, I'm like, I fucking hate this game. I love Sekiro. Sekiro is like.
Oh man! But if you only kill the main ape, the other one just dies from sadness.
Really?
You don't even have to kill both of them. If you just kill the main ape and don't worry about the other one, the secondary ape like kind of gives up and starts crying and dies as well.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I would feel sad for them if they weren't bastards and deserve to die.
I love that fight though, because it starts out like just like a regular like ape, and then you cut its head off, and all of a sudden the worm comes out, and then like its entire movement changes, the entire like fight changes. It's a different style completely.
Oh, and it has you a mean weapon like? Now. You mean like the first Guardian 8 battle?
Yeah, the first Guardian 8.
I would say
such a good fight.
The first battle with the actual, like, because, like, yeah, there's Guardian 8, he's the main battle, and then it's Guardian 8 plus 1. But the first Guardian 8, because it's one of the things, it's like a From Software game, so you're kind of inching your way through, and it's like, oh, I think I got it. And then something just starts happening, like, what's going on? What the fuck is happening? And then it turns into this weird, slimy ape. Like, its movements are slimy. The way it moves, it's really, it's a completely different fight. Oh, man, that game
it starts, like, wiggling when it approaches you, like a centipede.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a good talking point. Favorite bosses in video games?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I can tell you, right now, my three favorite bosses. Right.
Save it. Okay. I want Andrew on this, too.
Okay.
Because I like his input on that. And I need to think about mine.
Yeah, I have to compile a list. There's so many.
Yeah, we could prepare that for next time.
I like homework.
But yeah, we are, you know, we're past the hour mark here. And I think it's time for us to say goodbye to our listener.
Bye, Jericho. Yeah.
Bye, Jericho.
But yeah, this...
we've got a new kid, by the way.
Again? Oh, yeah. K-Dash?
Yeah,
Caden.
Caden, yeah, sorry.
Hello to everyone, Sam, and the whole family.
Of course.
Hopefully they're doing all right.
I miss those guys.
Yeah, me too. I miss you guys. It's literally been forever.
This is too long to not see you guys. It's
right?
It's really weird.
Well, the last time was like what?
Gilbert and I dropped the headphones off.
Oh, yeah! Like, man. I'm, like, lucky, if anything, that I got to see you guys, like, that was, what, November?
Yeah, because that was when the Xbox came out.
Yeah, so that, I was lucky. I mean, like, but that's, like, one time, and then another 4 months passes before you see
right?
us
like,
again, and then another 4 months passes. Yeah, it's weird.
What is time anymore?
Chicken and knife videos.
Oh, yeah.
When did those happen? Oh, yeah. a probable serial killer make knives out of different materials.
Yeah.
So, like, our tradition when all of us get together is we order fried chicken and we watch this, like, Japanese YouTuber make knives out of things that you normally wouldn't make knives out of. And, like, it's really creepy. It's kind of, like, how-to basic level of weirdness, but also with, like, a serial killer edge because he's making weapons and stroking doll heads.
A different serial killer edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all pretty convinced he's probably killed somebody.
I think that's his shtick, though.
Right.
Gets views, or yeah. Anyways, I miss those times.
Me too.
I'm subscribed to that guy on YouTube, and like sometimes I'll see new videos pop up. I'm like, I can't watch this without them.
It's not the same. Or that dude with the soundboard.
What soundboard?
The boiler.
Yeah, he had that little tiny soundboard, and I remember him, he made that song out of the line from Fist of the North Star.
Oh, yeah. His name's like Yuri something?
Yuri something. I just remember like his stuff was crazy and just interesting to watch. And every time I left my house, or your house, sorry, and I come back here, I would start getting like advertisements for it. And I'm like, man, fuck you, Google. Stop listening to the stuff that I do with my friends.
But what's our plugins again? Our email is goodlewafflepodcast@gmail.com.
Did you ever figure out the password thingy? Because I think the last time we...
We'll figure it out. And our Twitter handle, I believe, is
@podcastwaffle. That is correct.
Yes. Hopefully next time we get Andrew on with us. This remote recording has been very weird.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at a table with three empty chairs, and it makes me sad.
Oh, God. That's dark.
All right. Did you set up all the chairs? Oh, you should tape a picture of each of us to the seats.
Sometimes Gilbert does that when I video call him. He puts me on a chair and, like, on a pillow, so it's like I'm in the room eating dinner with him and Jordan.
But that makes sense. See, it's like a presence.
Alrighty, thank you for listening. We've been the Waffle Podcast for today.
Adios.
See ya.
Goodbye. Stay alert. Stay safe.
Wear a mask.